With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wants support. Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the area. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the treble!
Ravanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Ravanelli spots out. Emerson!
Hello and welcome back to the Borough Breakdown podcast, the season preview show with Johnny, Dana and Tom. And if this is the first time or the 128th podcast you've listened to, or you just need a simple reminder, we are the Borough podcast that gives you all of the Borough Match Day chatter in a podcast, with podcasts out every Sunday throughout the season, apart from today, of course, where it's Tuesday. Middlesbrough are playing York this evening, but of course the season is very much among us. But as mentioned at the start, this is our season preview show. It's the show which reveals our predictions for the season this year, what we should look out for, and we also look ahead to Borough's first game of the season against Marco Silva's Fulham at Craven Cottage. But first, transfer news, guys. We all love a bit of transfer news. Appreciate Lewis Wing has just went to Sheffield Wednesday, so we'll come on to that a little bit later on. But we've also got so many transfers to go through, but appreciate in our last podcast, if you haven't listened to it already, please do. But we've chatted about Borough's first four signs of the summer. So, of course, that was Joe Lumley. Attackers in Sami Amayobi and Uche Ekpeazu, and experienced defender Lee Pelletier. But a lot has been going on since. So George Savile's left the club. Middlesbrough always linked with Argentinian midfielder Martin Pajero. Oh, God, so many. Muniz?
Santiago's brother, yeah.
Santiago's brother from goal. But a lot has happened, and there's so much to happen too with Mills. We've got so many players on trial and linked, and it's a very, very exciting for the summer for Middlesbrough Football Club. But of course, last week, Borough announced the signing of Rotherham midfielder Matt Crooks on a 3-year deal, making him Borough's fifth signing of the summer, which, as expected, to be a very, very busy summer. But Dan, I'm going to kick things off with you. We spoke to the New York Talk podcast last week in their Rotherham United podcast, and they were very gutted to see Matt Crooks go. But what's your opinion on the transfer, and what do you think he can bring to this Borough side?
I was a bit sceptical at first, I'm not going to lie. I think my initial thoughts were, is he an improvement on George Savile? And yeah. I think, obviously, that question will be answered come the end of the season, but I think what he can offer us is if Borough go long during games, and I know he can play number 8 and number 10, so if he's a number 10, he's probably the type that was going to be more physical than Savile, plays more to Neil Warnock's style of play. And I think, at the very least, he will cover the goals that George Savile has taken to Millwall. So I think he's a player that I'm going to have to give time. But I mean, when he scores that goal that he did against Plymouth, where he arrived into the box and was there for Ekpeazu's cutback, then that certainly helps. I know that's one game there. But yeah, I think that's one that I did initially meet with a bit of scepticism. But you know what? I'm kind of excited about seeing how these signings develop at Borough, because I do think we've signed some pretty decent players on paper.
It looks so, doesn't it? It seems like they all seem to be very Neil Warnock-esque signings. Obviously with the quotations. I mean, if you're watching us on the live stream, you could definitely see what I was doing there. But if you're listening to the podcast, you've had no idea what I was doing there. But Tom, Crooks, he's obviously come in. Lewis Wing has just left. I was going to ask you, is this the end of Lewis Wing? But it seems to be. It is. Do you think that's a direct replacement for him?
I'm not so sure because I think we're still counting on another centre midfielder, probably Pajero, to come in and take that role. I was thinking about this yesterday, and you know, thinking two players for every position. You know, maybe Lewis Wing could have still had a chance, especially considering he's been fairly decent in pre-season so far. Obviously, just wasn't to be, and I think we're probably planning on Pajero playing quite a lot this season and taking quite a lot of minutes, which would mean Wing wouldn't get as much of a look in as he maybe had even last season, where he didn't get much of one at all.
Yeah, I think if you're in Neil Warnock's position and you're looking at Lewis Wing, I think that Lewis Wing needs game time and consistent game time, and if he doesn't have that, then I feel like it's a bit of a waste. I don't think he's going to be someone who, you know, really sets the world out in the Championship this season. And I think League One will probably be his best move for him to play consistent games, show the best of him, but then also play for a side like Sheffield Wednesday. Big club, good fan base. You know, they get behind him. They'll also want to do a promotional push this year. So I feel like it's a fantastic move, to be honest. I feel like it's a good move all around as well. I think he's got one more year left with us. I think that's an option. I think it's technically the last year with a year potential. So, I mean, for me, I think it's a good move. And then if a new manager comes in next year, if Warnock goes, then that makes sense for him to trial out. But Tom, Warnock did say he wants to bring in another four or five players before the season starts, or before the end of the window. But how do you think he's going to fund it? Is it going to be that wing transfer, Chubarak, Pom, dare I say, Paddy McNair?
I think, obviously, with wing leaving, that's probably more just wages off the books, unless we've got some sort of fee for it as well. I think most of the rumours I've been seeing kind of mainly on One Borough revolving around Akpom, Spence and Coulson. Coulson seems to be reported a lot more widely than the other two, though. So I could see that happening, you know, fairly soon. But in terms of Akpom and Spence, I think we're probably holding out for certain valuations for them, which is why they haven't already gone. But as soon as we get get the cash in for those players, I can see them funding a fair few other deals as well.
Yeah, well, Dana, what's your thoughts on it then? Because Tom mentioned there, off on Borough, Hayden Coulson, Jed Spence, Chuba Akpom, all three players that Middlesbrough could get the money back from. Jed's an interesting one for me, but I'll come on to that in a second. But what's your thoughts on the transfer? Do you think that Middlesbrough are going to fund it through player sales to get people in?
Probably. I think it is interesting that Coulson hasn't left yet, and I think we have been linked with Keane Bryan, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I think with a lot of players that have been linked with a move away, it's a case of someone coming in first, so that effectively gives the green light for players to depart. But yeah, I'm surprised that we haven't had a few more departures. And yeah, like I said, it probably is subject to incomings. And I mean, loan players as well. Now you've got the likes of Conor Malley and Hayden Hackney that will probably be either going on a permanent deal. If you're Conor Malley, you're probably the age where you want to play regular games. And then Hayden Hackney on loan. So I think there'll definitely be outcomings. And it's just a case of bringing in players first.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with the players that potentially come in, it's difficult because we're linked with so many players, and I think that although it's exciting, there must be some sort of balance. I think with Jed's an interesting one because there's about three or four Premier League teams after him. So then, why aren't we wanting to keep him? Are we missing something that these Premier League sides are seeing? For me, I really do like Jed. I think he does bring something to the table. You know, he showed that tenacity and arrogance he showed under Jonathan Woodgate. I kind of thought to myself, yeah, I kind of want him to keep him around, and we could probably build a team around him. But for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem to be clicking under Neil Warnock just yet.
He hasn't really progressed, I think, is probably the best way of putting it.
Yeah, that's probably the right word. And to be honest, like, I mean, he did a Rabona in the last game and he scored in pre-season. I think if he keeps going this way, Jesus Christ, I'm going to be massive for Christmas. So
well, if Manjaro's will let us in.
I mean, if Manjaro's will even let us in, yeah. I mean, booking tables of five, and there's only three, and there was only four of us. But it is what it is, isn't it? But speaking of five, four or five signs, Dana. One of them potentially could be a signing is former Bristol City striker Jamie Patterson.
Striker.
Well, he played up front for a while, moved into attacking midfielder.
Well, fair enough. I'll trust your judgment there.
Okay, well, I'll meet you at CF. But if in terms of these statistics, I don't think you'll probably agree with it, but 338 games, 54 goals, good at chance creation, of course. You know, he did tear us apart at the Riverside last season. He always has as well. Mm. Experience, do you think it's a bit of a no-brainer signing to bring someone in like that, especially on a free?
Yeah, I would welcome it. I think he's one of those players that is exciting, that gets fans off seats, and mainly because he's pretty adept at getting out of tight situations in which he's being pressed. And I think somebody like him would be good to progress the play into the final third. And like you said there, whenever we play Bristol City, they always have those midfield runners, don't they? And it tears us apart every single time. And he's one of them. And I think he would be a good signing. I know, unfortunately, he had that ankle injury that ruled him out a couple of games in Cornwall, but we have the York game tonight, we have the Rotherham game as well. I think if he does well in those games, I wouldn't be surprised to see him. I think it's an option there that is exciting, and he's always a player that, for me, has passed the eye test more often than not.
I think he can definitely bring a lot to the table, really. I think with Middlesbrough last year, they had the biggest distance between the forward and the defender lines as well, so it showed how deep we were defending, and the amount of kilometres we had to get up towards the end of the pitch is incredible, really. And it's probably the reason why we need to invest in these players like Jamie Patterson and Martin Pajero as well. So it'd be interesting to see how we incorporate Patterson if we were to bring him in. But Tom, we said it on the last podcast and we laughed about it because we were expecting it. And then a couple of days after, Sol Bamba was announced that he's currently training with us. The 35-year-old defender, appreciate former of Cardiff City, and reports from the Gazette and Hartlepool Mail have said that it's unlikely he's going to get a deal. But given that Nathan Wood is still very, very young, the lack of options in defence, could you see him maybe get one-year deals? Just given those like stats of the sort, yeah.
Well, you know, I think I read a quote from him in the last week where he said, "I'd be lying if I said it hadn't been discussed." So I feel like although all the noises are kind of saying he's not getting a contract, it could still happen. For me, I'd only kind of say yeah with like quite a few asterisks there. that's kind of bearing in mind two players for every position. If McNair is staying at centre-back this season and Wood's staying, then we've got two players for everywhere across the back. Maybe not a left-back at the moment, but centre-back definitely. If McNair's in midfield, then, you know, we've got Kane Bryan and Kieran Brown, I think, linked, who can also play centre-back and left-foot centre-back, so I'd prefer them. But if they're not coming, or they're only coming in as a left back, Wood's going out on loan, McNair's in midfield, and we've got no other options at centre back, I'd probably say yeah. But like I say, there's a lot of stuff for me that has to happen before I'd kind of welcome that as a deal.
A very much yes, but I have to. but to be fair, experience, you know, could be good for the dressing room. But then if I throw like the other start of year, say, for whatever reason, Grant Hall and Dale Fry get injured, you've got Sol Bamba, Lee Pelletier, you'd suit two centre-halves at age together at 70.
Nice.
So
the thing
and
is,
that,
right,
and that is still 2 years younger than Neil. So I mean, if Neil can probably play the third man in defence, to be honest. So I mean, it'll all work out. But
the thing is, right, my overriding memory of Sol Bamba is that slip for Leeds,
yes,
United.
Yes.
when we beat him 3-0 at the Riverside, and I remember that because that slip won me £80 with Fabrini running in and scoring that third. I won £80 on a bet, yeah, that day.
I edited him sitting on the toilet after he did that slip. I showed you it and you were pissing yourself.
I was, to be fair, it was good, to be honest. Yeah,
I mean, Sol Bamba was pissing himself as well.
Yeah. Who's Diego Fabrini again? the man, the myth, the legend of Diego Fabrini. But Dana, Tom mentioned it there. Kieran Bryan, formerly of Sheffield United, Yeah, Keane Brown and Kieran Brown as well. God, it's just so similar. Doesn't that one with dyslexia, does it? Family of Cardiff as well. But both centre-halves, both known to play left-back as well. Being renowned to be a bit of a kicker, no real technical ability in terms of like your ball-playing centre-halves in comparison to Dale Fry. But why do you think Neil Warnock's looking for those type of players? Both 6 foot odds, you know, screams a little bit like Ito Karanka, where our back line was 6 foot plus. So is that the route he's going down?
Well, I think he wants players that fit his style of play, but also it would be good to have a left-footed centre-half because it just... I think it allows a better balance for Borough playing it across the back line. I know there was a lot made about Harry Maguire during the Euros and him being a right footer on the left. And there was, I read a lot of Michael Cox's Athletic pieces about this, and he was basically analysing it, saying that Harry Maguire naturally goes infield as opposed to on the outside to Luke Shaw. So it cut off a lot of those avenues. But I think with Kieran Brown, if we do bring him in, if Borough go direct and hit it into the channels, and I suppose you've got that different dynamic of playing it more central as opposed to outside, or the other way around, sorry. But yeah, I think I would welcome a left footer. I know we haven't really run into too many troubles and problems with Dale Fry playing on that side, but it would just be good for a sense of comfort and a sense of balance to have that. I mean, I don't know too much about Brown as a player. I think he was on loan in Scotland, I believe. But in terms of Brian, I think that's just simply a case of we need cover at left back. Because Coulson, I think I've mentioned it a few times, that his days are numbered at Borough for me. And I think as soon as left back comes in, that's probably the time for Ian Coulson to go.
Yeah, well, he's linked with Ipswich, isn't he? Ipswich Town for a season-long loan.
I was going to say Ipswich away, then.
He's linked with Ipswich away.
Ipswich away.
But yeah, Ipswich Town's a good move for
and
him.
And Sunderland,
again,
I think, as well,
wasn't it? I mean, do you really want to go to Sunderland? So,
true.
Yeah, so like, I think that's a good move for him. I think with Kieran Brown coming in, I think it's an interesting one. It really is, because his consistency for Sheffield United when he did play was fairly promising. He's like that 6 to 7 out of 10 type of player. Can it dislodge Mark Bowler or give him competition? It'd be very interesting to see how we actually do that, because it could be Mark Bowler keeps it and we have a new James Husband, where like he came in to push George Friend and then didn't push George Friend at all, but pushed himself away. So it'd be interesting to see how we incorporate that. Very, very good technical player, so it could be interesting to see. Well, technical player, but I'm not saying like the most technical in comparison to what we've got. But in terms of another deal that's going on, Muniz, of course, could be announced in the next couple of days or so if it works out today. I appreciate Neil Bowser and Leo are in sunny Spain, aren't they? Just working out a deal, so we'll see how that fares out. Signs for Fulham. the Pajero deal, it's been dragging on a little bit and still going on as we do this podcast, but what would you guys like to see for the transfer window until when it closes? What do you think we need to get this team challenging at the right end of the league? Because we've mentioned quite a lot of names there, but what do you think we need to challenge for the top places this season? Who wants to go first? Tom, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go with probably another option up top. I don't want to kind of say Pajero and Muniz too much because I hadn't heard of them a month ago. And now with all the coverage, they're all I've ever wanted at the club. But retro reference, I like that. I think we could do with another option out wide. I think with Amiobi on the left now, I think Watmore's going to be kicking on a lot more this season. I think I read something today that said for the first time in 5 years he's taking part in a pre-season, or he's enjoying pre-season or something like that. But potentially Patterson, if he can provide competition on the right, and then we've got Amiobi and potentially Brown or Tav on the left. Another option in centre midfield is probably needed now that Wing's gone. And probably I'd say a couple more options up front, But even if we were to bring in kind of like a number 10, one name that's been linked as well as Piero and Munez this summer is Lazaro, also from Flamengo. And he's the one I want because he was a wonder kid for me on Footy Manager. So I just want to be proven right on that one, that, you know, signing him's a good idea. I want to see him play in the flesh and actually just let me down. just go in with such high hopes and then just be so disappointed on the way out of the Riverside.
Ah, the South American flag. To be fair, like Middlesbrough have got like a history of these type of players. Appreciate, you know, Carlos Tapena on one side, and then you've got Juninho on the other side, and there's just no in between, is there? Like, you just don't know what you're going to get, I think. But with Pizarro and Munez, they do look very promising. But Dana, what do you think Borough needs? Do you think there's a few more left for Borough to really compete this season?
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned, we need another left back. I think additional centre back cover, and then move Paddy McNair into midfield. I think a goalkeeper as well. Stojanovic wants to leave Puyol. I mean, he literally played one game with fans. The rest was complete empty stadiums. He goes to St. Pauli and then he's just gone. He's just a bit of a myth, really, isn't he? But I think a goalkeeper option, but an experienced one, like Kieran Westwood, for example. I think he's still a free agent. I know people have sort of said Jamal Blackman, not in terms of he's been linked, but in terms of a potential option. But I think I would prefer a more experienced goalkeeper coming towards the end of his career, just because I don't really want Jamal Blackman to block a Sol Brin or a Brad James from being a potential number two and then sort of working their way up. But I think, well, another striker, if Akpom leaves, I know that there's rumours that he is going to Besiktas. So, yeah, probably another striker or two, centre-back, left-back and a goalkeeper for me.
Full team then, eh? Full team. but yeah, absolutely spot on. I think there's so many players that Middlesbrough could look for, really, in the remainder of the summer. I think it'd be interesting to see who goes to fund it. Like I mentioned, there's Jed, there's Coulson.
We've definitely got request future funds, haven't we?
Absolutely.
On FIFA.
Well, that's why I'm thinking about maybe, and people are going to hate me for it, but maybe Paddy McNair could be an option for him to go. Like, when you look at value at this Borough squad, we're not really blessed with players who are going to be sold for 15 million, really. I think the one push is probably Fry, and then maybe Tav, you could probably get like a 8 million maybe out of him. But in terms of McNair, I think if you can get your money back a little bit more, then I think for me, your hand's already going to be played, because you want six or seven players to come in. Then it might pave the way for him to unfortunately leave. But if that does go, then you've got the likes of bringing in maybe more creative players to play that number 10 role, or another deep line player, midfielder. You can bring in another left back, you bring in a goalkeeper, centre backs, etc. You can do a lot more with your money with that. And I feel like, unfortunately, that could potentially be a thing that Middlesbrough maybe go down. It's not like I want it to happen. I think we should try and keep McNair at all costs. I think he was one of our best players last season. But if the money was right, I think we should probably consider it and see how we can invest it in the summer. But yeah, for me, guys, I think we definitely need a goalkeeper or two. I think Brad James is injured now, I think, isn't he,
injury, I think.
Elbow injury, and then I don't think Sol Brin's ready yet. I think he needs game time elsewhere. So for me, I think you are looking for that second or third choice goalkeeper. probably someone who's more experienced. I mean, I can't believe Max Benelli's went to Chelsea of all places to go.
What's that all about?
Can't believe he's going to be sat down on an absolute wedge and, you know, had the worst save percentage of anyone in the Championship last season. But here we are. Like, I mean, talk about falling on your feet. You can't knock the hustle. But in terms of that, you know, Kieran Westwood's another goalkeeper. Left backs, of course, which did try and push Mark Bowler. And then it's just interesting to see how we progress. I think we need two more strikers at a minimum.
Yeah, I would
agree. I think
if
we don't have if Tuberakpom decides to go to Besiktas, then we've got one striker, and then we need someone who can play off Uche And then also we need someone who could probably be similar to Uche, which is it's just so difficult. I would hate to be in Neil Warnock's position right now. But when all these signings come in, Middlesbrough will probably look to formations and style changes as the season goes on. At the start of pre-season, we started with a four, but then I appreciate as pre-season's gone on, you've seen Middlesbrough move back to that three again. And then last year it was very, very good for Middlesbrough. We came out on top in games one, goal scored, most points gained, and less goals when we were playing a three than when we play with Neil Warnock's favourite four. But Dana, what formation would you like to see Neil Warnock opt towards this season?
I think for me, a 4-3-3. I know I really like three at the back. I love the wing-back formation and the sort of tactics of getting those wing-backs forward. But I think with the options that we have and we'll end up having when Pichero comes in, I think 4-3-3 is probably the best option for us. Having said that, though, I know Neil Warnock seems to like a 4-2-3-1 if you look at his managerial career as a whole, and we have options now at number 10 more than we had last season, because last season we just had Tav and that was it. And I think we really felt the absence of him when he got injured. Now we've got Crooks that can play number 10, Pichero can play number 10. I think there's flexibility there, and that's something that Neil Warnock has preached on the off season. I think he mentioned Chelsea and their sort of wing back system, but it's very fluid in the transition. And I think that we do have a lot of options to be able to move around in terms of systems. I just hope that it doesn't become a bit of a hindrance to us, and that we don't become too flexible, and it sort of stifles the options that we do have and the consistency. But for me, I think a 4-3-3, I'd have obviously Lumley in goal, Dyke, Steele, Hall, Fry, Bowler as the back four. I'd have Morsy as the sitting mid, which seems to be kind of controversial. I know people are wanting House in there.
No, I think Sam Morsy starts. I think you'll see less of House in this year. Given that, and don't get me wrong, House is a fantastic footballer, great leader at the club, but he's in that Grant Leadbitter bracket now where he's 34 at the end of the season. Sam Morsy's what, 26, 20 to 28,
maybe?
29. Sam, yeah. Either way, like in his prime, was excellent last season. And I feel like he's probably going to dislodge him in this season as the season goes on. But don't get wrong, Houston will have a big, big part to play. But I think we'll see less of him than we have in previous seasons. But
yeah, definitely. Sorry. I think we might have to put a poll up and just see what people would prefer out of that, out of Morsy and
that Simpson meme now where like people are going to come up like the fires and like I've said that on Facebook. Like.
Well, it does seem to be controversial, but I would go for Morsy. I think Pichero, McNair in front of him. It's an interesting dynamic there, I think, because I think both Pichero and McNair have the ability to affect the player from deep. I've actually earmarked McNair as the box-to-box, but I'm not quite sure whether that would actually fit him as much as it would a sort of deep-line playmaker almost. But I would have Tav and Watmore either side of Vic Piercy. We don't really have an orthodox winger. I know last season when you look at the crossing stats, we did top those charts in the league. But I think we've got players that are more likely to cut inside, a Watmore, a Tav, Amiobi. I think Brown's probably the only one that's likely to go on the outside. So I think for me, I would go with a 4-3-3. McNair's position is interesting as well. I think to have him in midfield is good in a four. In defence, sorry. But then if we do play with a three, I think McNair plays in that three.
So 4-3-3 for you. Tom, what are you going to go for? Are you going to go for the three or the four?
I'm going to say that we're setting up at the moment with our signings and the flexibility of some of our players to play a couple of different systems this season. I'd like to see us go to a 4-3-3. Probably a similar lineup to what Dana's just mentioned there. I was a big kind of advocate of it last year, and not so much the three at the back, but I feel like with the options that we've got now, you know, we could easily play three at the back, especially if we're getting a left-sided centre back in, but also 4-2-3-1. I could see at times this season our two across the middle being Pierre and Morsy, and then having someone like Tav at number 10 or Crooks at number 10. I think the players that we're signing and the players that we've got, like the likes of like Housen and McNair and people like that, being able to play in various positions, I think we're setting up for this season knowing that we can play a few different systems.
Got options, Don.
I was waiting for options. I was waiting for it.
But yeah, it's interesting for both of you to say there's diversity there, and we could play multiple systems this year. I think for me, I would prefer three. I think the way that Dale Fry plays, he reminds me a little bit to Ben White a little bit. And the way that Ben White plays, he gets the ball into feet, and he presses forward with the ball, and the way that you move your centre defensive midfielder away, it creates that space for that long ball over the top or the flick on for Uche, and it just creates much better angles. And I don't know why we have. I feel like we've been a bit more dangerous when we have played that three than when we tend to play over four. I think with the four, we're very limited to like how many angles we can play on that right and the left hand side. And for me, I don't think we have the quality there from the left back or the right back to play that long diag and to get us up the pitch. I feel like it's going to be very much, you know, try and get it to Tav or try and get it to Watmore and trying to create something. So that's for me, I think the three is a bit more fluid for us. I think a 3-1-4-2 would probably be ideal for us. Maybe a Watmore to play off Ikpeazu. I feel like that could potentially work. You know, big man, small man. That like going back to the old days of football, really. Yes. Like Heskey Owen.
Score 4-4-2.
I mean, Heskey Owen. I mean, 2001. It's not even old, but they went full journey there. It is for you, yeah. It is for you. But that 3-1-4-2, I could think could be a good system for us. You know, when you got Grant Hall, you got Dale Fry there. I appreciate we probably need to bring another centre half. Because I'd prefer to see a Dyke Steele on the right hand side this year, but then in the middle you've got Ball on the left, and you've probably got it's so hard because you've got the options in midfield now, but then you've got Crooks and you've probably got Crooks there. You can play Tav in there. You can play McNair. You know what I mean? So when you play like different systems, you think, where might McNair fit? I appreciate he's our best creative player from last year, but yeah. When I was on about funding for the wider team. Why not? Do you know what I mean? Like you've got options, Don. So I mean, you can rotate things around. I'm not pro McNair, so by the way, but I mean, if it's for the greater good, then yeah.
The greater good, yeah.
But Dana, we'll chat about last season then, because Borough played in moments really, and you can see by how low our possession figures were. Last year we had 42% possession on average, and we tend to sit back. How do you see Borough counteracting that this season? Because it was quite difficult given the attacking midfield lines were so like spread out, and then obviously the attacking line was a bit further, so that essentially means that Middlesbrough have more, you know, kilometres to run up the pitch to try and create something. So how do you see Middlesbrough changing that this year?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned moments there, and I know Sam Morsey also mentioned that when we spoke to him, but I think we've just got to be bolder and braver in those moments, and that comes from individual skill, really. And I think with Tav, Peixeiro, and then Patterson as well, potentially Watmore as well could be in that bracket, we just need to be brave. I think we need to take more risks. And to be fair, I don't really see the possession style sort of changing, because I feel like it's almost a staple of Neil Warnock. But yeah, I think I do think we need to just play more brave and more bold in those moments. And I mean, obviously, you could say it's a tactical thing. I think it absolutely is. But bringing in those better individuals like Peixeiro, like Patterson as well, that sort of thrive off those moments, I think is definitely a good thing to try to counteract that.
Absolutely, there's so much we can do, really. I think with these attacking players that are coming in, it probably will help us get up the pitch a lot quicker than we have done in a previous season. But Tom, we'll talk about these moments a little bit more. When Borough look to play and get forward, they look to play a wide, and we've seen that last year with over 1,000 crosses for Middlesbrough last season. And I appreciate a cross can be. There's a bit of a caveat to it, really, because a long diagonal pass can count as a cross. But in terms of getting the ball in the box, Middlesbrough brought in Uche this season. So with him being up top, can you see how Borough are going to probably use crosses now to get themselves up the pitch and utilise Uche as much as they can?
Yeah, and I don't think it's just him either. I've got a bit of a theory about why we've signed Amiobi. Because, I mean, he's fairly...
Talk me through this theory, then.
Fairly tall, isn't he? He's about 6'4", if I'm remembering right. I think we're kind of signing him and having Watmore on the other side. And it's kind of going back to something we spoke about last season, and that, like, no one was gambling for these crosses. I think the signing of Amiobi and having that height in the box, you know, after the ball might have like whizzed past Ikpeazu. It can be kind of similar to what we had with playing Stuani on the right under Karanka, where we've always got like someone arriving in back post in case the main striker, you know, doesn't get the ball for whatever reason. I think that might be the same with Watmore and Patterson on the other side. They're both attack-minded players. You know, Watmore had a decent goals tally last season, and I could definitely see him gambling at the back post for some crosses. I think that's the reason we're trying to sign players like Amiobi and Patterson. And obviously, I think with the addition of like Crooks in midfield, who I think is 6'5" as well, we've got height now, Don. but you know, we've got options in the penalty area as well for you know, diagonal balls in or corners or whatever. I think we're building for that type of player.
See, I think that I know we mentioned Sammy Amiobi on the last podcast, the transfer one. He tends to take more shots, doesn't he, than crosses. And I think I do think that we might well see inverted wingers next season, where you've got Tav coming in, you've got Amiobi coming in. I feel like I can see that, which is why, I know we're going on to this later, which is why I can sort of see Tav coming up in terms of the goals. But definitely, I think there's a lot of versatility there and a lot of options to change, both in terms of personnel and tactics and system as well. So I'm really quite intrigued to see who Neil Warnock fields the first game against Fulham.
Yeah, I think with the inverted wingers as well, I think it's interesting because you can utilise Watmore there as well. I feel like Amiobi will probably be more bench than play, probably,
yeah,
when you look at the likes of Watmore and what he brought to the side last year. And you've also got Tav there, who's been thriving, especially did last year. And for me, I'll come on to him a little bit later on. But we'll chat then. Dana, we'll have a look at the live stream real quick, because has there been any movements on Morsey or Johnny Howson by any chance?
I think, well, Michael says Howson, Peter says Howson, and then John says Morsey.
So it's quite split, isn't it? Yeah. So if you are listening to us live as well and watching us on Facebook, then please do join. So Howson or Morsey, there you go. I mean, both quite similar players. Well, you know, there's differences. But we'll chat about Uche, because it's the question that everyone asks when a new striker signs for Middlesbrough. How many goals are they going to score in a season? Now, Bernie Slaven was the last player to score 20 goals in a league season for us, and over 34 years ago now, at the good old Ayrton. Dana, we'll go on. What do you think? Big Uche, how many goals this season?
I think he'll get double figures, but just, I think, 10 for me.
10 for Dana and Tom?
I'm going 12. I think he scored 6 last season, and that was for a Wickham team which you know, didn't have too much going forward. So I think hopefully with better service this year, fingers crossed, touch wood, he should be able to get a few more chances than he did at Wickham, and hopefully get into double figures.
So 12 and... It was 10, right? Yeah.
10, yeah.
I'm just going to go 11 to be in the middle. but this is my favourite part of the show, guys, and it's all about our season predictions for this season. And now our predictions can be on the money, and they can be absolutely off the money. Like last year, Elliot predicted Sam Stubbs to be the mitten breakthrough player, and he left about 2 weeks later. so in terms of these predictions, of course, you can also join in as well on the live chat too. And if you want to do that, please do. And if you... listeners on the podcast apps and want to get involved too, please do send us a Twitter DM or set us a message or on Facebook, anything, and we'll just all join in together. But start things off, predictions. Where do you think Borough will finish this season? Tom, do you want to go first?
Fourth.
Fourth?
Whoa,
yeah, I'm going optimistic. And I said at the end of the season review show that anything less than promotion this season would be a failure. So I'm going... considering the fact that we keep talking about promotion and telling, you know, players who want to sign about promotion, then it has to be the aim. So I'm going fourth.
Going fourth. I mean, you don't sign to finish 12th, do you? So, I mean, Dana?
Well, I think we'll be in and around the top six, but I don't think we'll end up there. I think seventh for me. A bit of final day drama where Borough unfortunately come short. But what I will say is that there's no excuses now, really. I think we need to see... Neil Warnock's managerial acumen. I know last season a few people were a little bit annoyed at the sound bites coming out of, well, we don't have any strikers, there's cliques in the dressing room. I think at the moment Neil Warnock's getting the players that he wants. He wanted players within the age bracket of 25 to 30. He's got that. And I would assume come the end of the window he'll have more strikers than Ikpeazu as well. So, yeah, we need to see that experience come to the fore from Neil Warnock. But I know it's rather contradictory because I've put us seventh, but I think we'll end up seventh for me.
Yeah, I agree with you both in terms of he set the standard this season now. He's said for a while where, you know, he was like, oh, look, you're going to enjoy next season, guys. You know, we're going to be up towards the top. He's trying to sign more players. Promotion's being talked about by fans. But if you had a gun to my head right now and said, Johnny, where do you think we'll finish? Without the signings that we've currently got, I think about 8th and 9th. I think that's realistic in terms of our approach and to bring quite a lot of players in together. Middlesbrough could potentially be playing the long game a little bit for one more season. People playing in the league for a year. 9th could be the position where we could end up. But I've got 8th and 9th. But the reason why I say that is squad depth. I don't think we have depth in quality. I think we really do lack quality after that 13, 14 players. I think when you look at the teams around us and above us, with the likes of Fulham, Bournemouth, West Brom, you know, you've got QPR as well, who I think will be the dark horses this year. Well, there goes my surprise package.
And
the season. So, there's quality. There's real quality and depth in these squads. With Middlesbrough, I can't see that quality just yet. Now, it could change in a couple of weeks when we bring these players in. I'm excited for Pajero to sign. If we get Muniz, then that's fantastic. Patterson is as well. Really build up the squads, then I'll probably change my opinion. But right now, I think 9th and we'll teeter out probably towards the end because we'll just run out of steam. But has anyone else got predictions in there, Dana? Anyone seen?
Yeah. Christian says 5th. Peter says hopefully 5th. But then he also says 10th. So I think it's, I think there's a mix. And I can understand why, because I think we've got a squad that I think is capable of getting into the playoffs. I do think it's quite an open division. I mean, to be fair, it always is. But I sort of agree. I think there'll be certain issues there that, I mean, there always is with Borough. Goal scoring, defence sometimes is a bit leaky and has been post-Karanka. So, yeah, I think there's a mix, and quite rightly so, I think.
Okay, and then who's going up and who's going down? So, Dana, do you want to go for this one?
Ooh, yeah, I was a bit confused about this. Undecided, probably the better word to say. But I've gone with Fulham, Sheffield United and Cardiff via the playoffs. But I think West Brom are boing boing merchants, aren't they? So they'll probably be in and around the top six. But I think them three I've gone for.
And Tom, who's going to go up?
I've won Fulham, Bournemouth and Borough. I've got finishing in 4th, and just in my head, I can just see, like, just a horrible, horrible playoff final win against, like, Sheffield United or something like that.
Scrape 1-0 win.
1-0 and, like, Matt Crook's header or something.
Wait, playoff final win? We're going to win at Wembley?
Yeah.
Jesus. We're going to break the curse. What, you've been eating for breakfast?
Neil Warnock is the man to break the curse. Who's going to go down, then? Who do you think is going to go down?
So I've got, for going down, Derby, Blackpool and Huddersfield.
Ooh, interesting one, okay.
I've gone Huddersfield, Derby and Coventry. I don't want Coventry to go down because there's a certain nostalgia about them being in the division from when we first when we first got relegated to the Championship. But I think, yeah, Huddersfield are in trouble, Derby are in trouble. I think Coventry might just go down.
Why do you think Huddersfield are in trouble?
Well, they didn't finish that far away from the relegation places last season, and I had a quick look at the transfers before we started recording, and it doesn't seem like they've strengthened that much. There seems to be kind of a fair few League One signings, and then a few free transfers, like Matty Pearson from Luton and people like that. So,
Jordan Rhodes signed, I believe.
He did, yeah, he did.
No, it was Jason Rhodes.
Oh, Jason.
but, yeah, I don't think they've strengthened too much from last season, and I could honestly see them struggling.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, you agree with that, Dana? Agree?
Yeah, I think they're having a massive relegation hangover, but with the players that have come out, gone and left, I just don't think they've recruited well. There seems to be a lot of things going wrong behind the scenes as well. I think, yeah, Huddersfield could be in trouble, and obviously Derby as well. We don't need to talk about how much of a mess it is there.
gets worse, hold my beer. You know what I mean? Oh, well, at least he's got Mel's got us on strings, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's very true.
But in terms of for my predictions, going up, I'm going to go with Sheffield United. I think there's a lot of quality there. Jokanović, good CV in the Championship. I think they're nailed on for promotion, and they've kept a good crop of the players too. Second one, I'm going to go Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth, you know, the stability there.
Have they got Scott Parker?
They do have Scott
Parker.
Absolutely,
they're not going up.
They're going up. I think the stability there, they've still got quality in the side. They haven't really had too many outgoings, and obviously they're shelling out quite a lot of wages, but, you know, I appreciate they can afford it. So I think for me, I think Bournemouth might, you know, I'm still waiting for them to fade away from the current season, but they just never do. So I think they might do it. And then my third one, I'm going to go a surprise package of QPR. I'm going to go QPR as my... they'll finish like sixth and end up winning the whole thing. I think Mark Warburton's doing a fantastic job there. Really, really good job. They've got some good players coming. Charlie Austin's just came back. Andre Dozel as well from... same thing, really. Centre midfielder from Ipswich. Very good young talent. I think he'll light up the Championship this season. Or very much go under the radar in terms of in quality. And then going down, yeah, Derby nailed on. See, I said Coventry as well. Then, I mean, I know they've had more stadiums and promotions and relegations in the last 10 years, but for me, they've got such a young side. They need to keep adding to it, and I just don't think Mark Robbins has got the capability to do that.
Second season syndrome.
A little bit is, yeah. Mm. I mean, Mark Robbins is a fantastic coach, but you can only do so much with what you've got.
Yeah.
And then finally, it's a toss-up, really. It could be anyone. It could actually be anyone, that third spot. Huddersfield, Peterborough, maybe. Mm-hmm. Who else? God.
Hull, and
Blackpool, probably. Yeah, Blackpool. Blackpool, mm-hmm. probably third one. And then we're going to go surprise package of the season. I mean, I know everyone knows who mine is, so surprise package of the season, team.
I think we all agreed with you. I think it's QPR.
QPR, fair enough.
Well, I've gone three. You'll be surprised, actually. I got Blackpool as one of my surprise packages. I don't know why. I feel like they might go a little bit like Barnsley last season, except not getting the playoffs, so kind of not like Barnsley then. But I've gone QPR and Luton as well. In fact, I'm going to go Luton.
Yeah, no worries, sorry, I was on a drink where you just looked at me there, sorry. But then we'll go on, we'll go to the comments, Dana. Is there any surprise packages or any relegations we should look towards?
Christian says Fulham, West Brom and Borough up, going down Huddersfield, Derby and Coventry, which is the same as mine.
Very nice. And then we'll go on to Borough's surprise package of the season. So what one Borough player do you think will make an impact this year and who will be the biggest surprise? So surprise package of the season.
I'm sticking with my theory for this one. I'm going to go Sami Amiobi. I think come the end of the season, we're all going to be like, you know, what a season he's just had in terms of probably goals. I think he's surprise package because no one was really that excited when he signed. Just like we've had him before, he was all right, I suppose, and he's never really set the Championship on fire, but I think he's one of these players that in the right system can perform well. So I think come the end of the season, it'll probably end up being our surprise package.
Okay. Dana?
Yeah, it's a good shout, but I've gone with Igbiezu. I think similarly to Amiobi, what Tom said, there wasn't a lot of excitement about him signing. A lot of people were thinking, well, why have we spent that amount of money on a player that scored 6 goals last season? But I do think that Uche is going to deliver the goals next season.
Okay, I think Pajero will get the headlines, but I think Matt Crooks for me. I think Matt Crooks will be a. I feel like when he's come from Rotherham, and obviously he was in the Championship, but now they're in League One, you tend not to have really much of a reputation. Probably, I mean, he really annoyed Sab Morsy.
Did
could it be him or? You know, I changed my mind. I know Matt Crooks. He'll have a good season. I'm gonna go Mark Bowler. I think, you know, I picked him a couple of seasons ago to be the surprise package. I'm going to come back again.
So you're going to jinx him again.
I'm going to jinx him again. And he's going to end up on loan at Blackpool like he did last time. But yeah, I told you, Mac Bull, he'll always come good. Borough's player of the season. Tom, do you want to go first?
I'm going to go for Dil Frey, second year in a row. I think he's going to defend his title as my player of the season. I think... last season, he did much better than I'd ever expected from him, you know, judging from the seasons past where, I think, like I said at the time,
he had all this hype around him and just couldn't see it. But last year he started to live up to it, and I think he'll just build on that this year.
Okay, Dale Fry from Tom, and then Dana.
Easy one for me, Tav.
What? Sorry?
Genuinely. No, I actually do. I do think that, the pie's long been eaten.
Gas mark 7-2 seasons.
Long been eaten. No, I think Tav's going to have the best season of his Borough career so far, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Tav is, I'm going to put my neck on the line, arguably the most technically gifted player we've got at the club.
I would say he's the best player that we've got at the club.
I think he's brilliant. I think he's absolutely brilliant for what we've got. I mean, he probably wouldn't set the Premier League alight at the moment, but for us this Championship season, he's just seemed to get a few percentage better in different parts of his game, and it's helped really. He's been so diverse in his positioning, and you know, he's played everywhere apart from in goal, to be honest, and it's just seemed to give him a much better view of the game, and I think he's really came on leaps and bounds. Borough's probably player of the year, I think, Max Tavernier, second to either Duncan Watmore or Sam Morsy, I think. And it's so hard. I feel like we could have a good season. And then there's two more. Obviously, one is where you probably ask the questions. But what is your bold prediction for this season? Who wants to go first?
I think my bold prediction was we're going up. I don't know. Call me crazy. I think we could do it.
Okay, Tom's bold prediction is we are going up.
It's coming home.
It's coming
home. Are you getting a tattoo on your ass?
Yeah.
No. Well, if I am, we're doing the same bet. Then, like, you've got to do something to even it up. And
my season's done, mate. my season's done. I was sick of the anxiety last season when we were fourth at one point. It's killing me.
Imagine if you had to get it like from that 1-0 scruffy win in the playoff final as well.
Raging. I'd be absolutely raging, to be honest. Look, I did that prediction last year because the hype was saying, you know, Neil Warnock, he's going to do it in 2 months. I was like, all right then, go on, crack on. But this year, look, it's the expectation that he has to get promotion this year. But if he doesn't, and if I say if we're like go on, Danny, you do yours now. I'll come with my bold prediction.
Okay. Well, I've gone with Tav. Both Tav and Nick Pearce who get double figures.
Okay, good one. I'm going to say if we're mid-table by Christmas, Warnock's gone. It's a bold prediction. If we're mid-table at Christmas, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What's the point in playing, ref?
What's the point? And do you know who's going to get the job? Leo. Not Kevin Blackwell. We'll end up going with Leo because of the South American connection. And, you know, it's a bit of passion. And it's just the way Steve Gibson thinks. I just think we'll go, you know what, Leo? You know what? We're 10th. We're not going to get the playoffs. You just take charge until the end of the season. 3 years down the line, Leo's still the gaffer.
Funnily enough, right, I was actually talking to someone at work before I left about Leo becoming manager, and we were just kind of creating this scenario in our heads where it's like a shithouse backroom staff. So you have Pogatetta as his assistant. Catamol's coaching the under-14s at the moment, so he can step up to the first team. Like, you got to think of some others as well. Clayton's maybe close to retire and bring him back to get on the coach and stuff.
See? Yeah, see? But I mean, like, that. I know what, that's going to probably happen. If Neil Warnock doesn't get us in, like, a promotion place or fine promotion, we'll just go, all right, then, Leo, you just have it. And then, like, don't get me wrong, I love Leo, but manager?
I don't know. I think stranger things have happened than if he took over and then he was like one of the better managers we've ever had.
Yeah, just gets a Champions
absolute
League.
Absolute tactical mastermind.
Champions League in 3 seasons. that's the bold predictions then. But we'll go last more. Is there any more predictions you guys would like to predict?
I'm going to say that Swansea will fall off massively. Massively. I think Gavin Ward will be crying about it, but I think they'll definitely struggle next season. I think, obviously, Steve Cooper's left, Andre Ayew's left, I think Matt Grimes is leaving. Yeah, but I think they're really going to struggle next season, which might not be a surprise to some people. It might be a surprise to some people. It wouldn't be a surprise to me, sorry.
Okay, that's a good one. Tom, any more for any more?
No, I think for me, possibly that West Brom might struggle a little bit. I just think the change in manager, possibly like trying to bring in a change in culture this season, I can see it kind of being more transitional for them and them not bouncing back up straight away this time.
Wait, who's their manager again?
Who?
Valerian Ismail from Barnsley.
Barnsley manager, yeah.
Yeah. So for me, that kind of leads to look very nicely. Can I say, what's going to happen to Barnsley, really? Because they have just been, you know, just like mugged of like everything and everyone. You know, like Mowat's gone now, Ismail's gone. Right. It's going to be a tough, tough season for Barnsley. So I feel like my other prediction would be Barnsley were a one season wonder and they're going to probably struggle in mid table this year.
I feel like they've got the recruitment model to replace those players. But yeah. I mean, such is the importance of Alex Moore, I think it will be hard. But yeah, I can kind of see where you're coming from there.
The final prediction of the whole predictions is Luton will finish top 10. Mm. Luton Town finished top 10. Made some really good additions, good manager. I feel like they could do some really good things this season. So this brings us on finally to that first game of the season at Craven Cottage, where Middlesbrough will play Marco Silva's Fulham. I'm assuming that I packed out Craven Cottage. Dana, Tom, I'm going to pass the mic over to you. Let's break down Fulham.
Well, obviously they've had no recent fixtures at the moment, so I've got kind of no recent form to go off on this one. But I think just looking at their team there, as I mentioned in my predictions, they're going to be up there this season. I think someone listed it on Twitter the other day, the amount of attacking options they actually have. And they're competing with us for Muniz at the moment. So I'm expecting a very, very tough game to start the season off there. And hopefully the opposite against Bristol at Riverside.
Okay, well, I'll come to your predictions in a second. But Dana?
Yeah, Tom mentioned the squad that they've got. They do have an abundance of options, an embarrassment of riches, really. I think it might well be the best time for Borough to play them, very similarly to when we played Watford last season. I know we didn't win that game. We probably should have got something out of it, though. They do have just a lot of options in midfield and defence, especially Tom Kearney, Harrison Reed, Andrea Franco-Anguissa, Fabio Carvalho, Josh Onema, Jean-Michel Seri. You've got Matt Grimes as well potentially coming in. So I suppose with Marco Silva, it's finding the right balance and the right blend. Defence as well. It seems Tete and Anthony Robertson will get the nod at left back and right back. Does Joe Bryan move into midfield? They do have a lot of options out wide. Niskin Scabano is one of them, which is a bit weird. And it just shows how strange squads can change
Absolutely.
With relegation, because of course he was not even on the fringes. He just wasn't involved for them last season. And then he's coming in. He might well be one of the first names on the team sheet for them. But centre-back options, they've got Michael Hector, who's currently playing for Jamaica. Tosin Adebayo, Terence Kongolo, Tim Ream, Alfie Mawson. A lot of their fans want Michael Hector and Adebayo, or Kongolo and Adebayo. But I think they might well run into some teething problems early season just because of the amount of options that they do have. But a lot of their fans do want them to move away from Parker Ball, which is just sideways passing with no conviction. They were the second lowest scorers last season with 27. And I think a lot of their fans are just relishing a style of play that inhabits more of a direct approach. And signing a player like Matt Grimes is probably... I know it's weird to say that, isn't it?
Look, I just want to play a long ball. Look, yeah.
We're all screaming for possession ball and they're screaming for... Who fit long?
Nah, to be fair, like when we talk about like direct football, I mean, Tony Pulis ball was the worst football I've ever seen. I always get flashbacks of John Hugel just spraying across it. Like, no, there was no Borough player in the camera shot.
But yeah, I think, by direct approach, I think they still want to stick with the possession style, but it's more when it needs to be hit long, hit it long, because it seems as though they were just, as my dad would say, pissing about with it and then not actually getting it into the box, which is why they struggled to score goals last season. So yeah, Marco Silva predominantly plays 4-2-3-1. Will be interesting to see how he manages it, because he's a good manager at this level, defensively a little bit suspect, so Borough could pick them apart defensively, especially out wide.
Yeah, I'd probably agree. I think the way that Mills would play were horrible to play against a Neil Warnock side. You know, it's hard work and it's a good bunch of lads. with Neil Warnock's sides, you know, you don't get much space, especially between those attacking lines as well. I think the way that we play so deep at times, it's fantastic defensively and you're hard to break down, but offensively, that's where we really struggled. But if we're able to get those pieces fixed. And, you know, with Patterson, you know, with Watmore, Tav and Pajero or Muniz, or if he decides to sign for us or Fulham, we could be in a good place to really cause some problems. So, for me, well, let's go on to our predictions then, guys. So, how we think that Middlesbrough will get on against Fulham on the opening day against Marco Silva and his Fulham side?
You know what? I'm going to go 1-1 for me.
1-1 from Dana. Tom?
I'm going to go 1-0 to Borough. And I have an idea of how I hope this happens. I hope it's like Ikpeazu bullies Tim Ream off the ball and manages to get a goal. And that is for no other reason other than the fact that when we last played Fulham at the Riverside, all the Fulham fans shouting Ream every time he touched the ball absolutely did me head in. I've never been so annoyed at the Riverside, so that's what I want to happen.
Okay, fair enough. Fun fact, Tim Ream had the second best possession stats in anyone in the Premier League last season. So,
I hope Ikpeazu makes a dent in that.
Yeah, do you know who was top? Ben White, who was just signed for Arsenal.
Why would you want to sign for Arsenal, man? That's just a different debate.
I mean, yeah, it's a different debate, but not for us. So 1-1, 1-0, I'm going to go with... See, I sound so negative. We've got optimistic Tom over here, realist Dana.
Sitting on the fence, Dana.
Sitting on the
Elliot
fence,
Venice.
Dana. And I'm going to... I think we will get beat 1-0. I think there's just a bit too much quality there. We're still looking to bring players in. It hasn't really bedded in so far. I mean, we've still got a couple of weeks, of course, but... We just don't think there's going to be enough quality, I think. I think get beat 1-0, unfortunately. But we will have a good season. But that's it, guys. Thank you very much for joining me, as always. And we're up and running for this season. But as Borough wrap up their pre-season campaign against Rotherham at the weekend, it'll be Fulham. And we'll be doing a live watch-along as well, where it's an extended show. And we'll give our live reaction as the game's going on. And then also tune in a little bit later on where we'll do the full podcast too. But this has been the Borough Breakdown podcast, and that was all your Match Day Chatter in a pod up the Borough Breakdown.
Want support? Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the area. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the transfer!
Ravanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Ravanelli spots out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.